Hey, I'm Josh, and this is Beyond the Numbers. This is where we have real and raw conversations about what church health actually should look like. This is a season and a time that we are doing these interviews with some great leaders doing awesome things throughout the U.S. And today on this Voices from the Field, I'm joined here with Justin. Justin, would you do me a favor and introduce yourself?
What's up, guys? I'm Justin Lucas. I'm the students pastor at Mercy Hill Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's a joy to be with you.
All right. So with this episode, it's all about, I'm a nerd, if you can't tell, behind me with all my Legos, my Star Wars, my Back to the Future. And so this one's kind of like a Back to the Future episode. You know, if you could go back and change anything, what would it be? And especially with ministry-wise. So my question is, if you were to go back and sit down with your younger self, maybe first day of ministry, what are some of the things or maybe one thing that you would tell yourself or teach yourself?
I think I would probably, if I just had like a small amount of time, I would probably try to like unlearn the things that I had been learned in college and stuff. Like, man, I'd been told a lot of things. I grew up in the generation where like the big church was not a good thing. And I was told lies about like, hey, health is when you don't count anything, when you don't look at anything, and you just kind of like go shoulder to shoulder with students. And that stuff's good. But man, I had this ambition and this drive inside of me to reach a lot of students with the gospel that I feel like I like tamped down a lot. And I kind of got a lot of frustration that built up because I was trying to be somebody that I really wasn't. And so I would probably say like, hey, let's like take some time and talk through realities rather than all of the speculative things that you were taught in college. But then I think I would step back and say, hey, the greatest gift that I think that you can give your ministry is self-awareness. And so like, don't put that off. Get coaching, get counseling. Not like the kind that's like, hey, let's just talk about feelings. That's really good. We need that, right? I don't want to throw like any shade at that because I need that. I went through that. But the kind that's like, hey, let's learn your strengths early. Let's learn how God has wired you early. And let's like figure out how to best leverage those things rather than like spinning your wheels in the mud in those younger years trying to be the things that you aren't because that's what you think you should be. Yeah.
Yeah. I think coaching is huge, especially as a leader. I think we always need to be growing and learning.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I remember someone, like it was like 4 years into the ministry and someone gave me that old school book by Doug Fields, the first years of youth ministry. And I had that and it just sat on the shelf because I was so offended. I was like, I've been in the ministry for 4 years now.
Yeah,
why do I need that book? And I had like a broken moment where I started reading through it and like I just soaked up the entire thing because I was like,
oh man.
And it's a lesson, I think, in just continuing to grow in what you know and your skills. You know, I find that I'm never at that point where I know everything. In fact, I feel more and more as I get older, I know nothing.
Yeah, dude, I think it's so real because you sit back and you try to be all the things in your own mind of like, oh, I know what I'm doing. But the reality is the vast majority of us are still trying to figure it out. Like I'm almost 20 years into ministry and like, man, I'm still day by day going like, how do I do this? How do I do that? Like, I think another thing I would even say is like, man, take the earlier you can take the posture of a learner, the better off you're going to be and the longer you're going to last in ministry because like, man, everything, culture is constantly changing. Methodologies are constantly changing. The only thing that stays the same is the word of God, right? Like, yeah. So we constantly are navigating how do we do student ministry in an ever shifting culture. So like take the posture of a learner. Like there are people out there who've been leading for 50 years already. Like look at them and say, man, how do you do that? Like, man, I look back and I think there's so many things that so many wounds I wouldn't have caught and so many mistakes I wouldn't have made if I had just done those two things, self-awareness and be a learner.
Absolutely. And kind of on that realm there of mistakes, can you think of a time where you made a mistake that in the moment it felt crushing, but in the end, God ended up using it and redeeming it?
Yeah, I think we need another podcast for that one. We're going to need a separate episode for me to tell you. Here's what I love to tell. I love when I lead young youth pastors or do coaching and stuff, I like to say I paid the dumb tax so that you don't have to. Like, Like, I left the kid in the mountains on a mission trip so that you can learn how to have better safety protocols, right? I think in my youngest years, I was super, super passionate about ministry. Like, I was, like, again, I had this ambition and this hunger. And I think what ended up happening in my youngest years was ministry, not to be crass, but, like, ministry became my mistress, where... Mm-hmm. I was more passionate about ministry than my marriage, more passionate about ministry than even my relationship with Jesus. And like, man, I was so excited about what we were doing in student ministry that like, I would go on a date with my wife and that would be what I talked about. I'm so excited about this. And it's like, my wife sat back one day and I'll never forget that moment. I mean, where she was like, hey, like, you care more, you love the ministry more than you love me. And I was like, ouch. And it hurt, not because she said it, it hurt because it was true. And I was like, dang, and if I don't fix this, what does marriage look like? What does family look like? What does even ministry, what does my relationship with Jesus look like if I don't fix this? And it's a long journey because passion is passion. And when you're passionate about ministry, that doesn't wane. You just have to like learn how to navigate those things and just be a better husband, a better son of God, better person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome when we're that excited about it. Like I can get hyper-focused and stuff, but it's all about having those guardrails. Like, You know, I can be super focused on youth ministry and how excited I am, but it can be kind of like a drug where, you know, too much of a good thing isn't always a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So you've been doing this for quite some time. Did you say 2 decades you've been?
Yeah, just about, man. It's hard to quantify because I worked in student ministry. I mean, I was a senior in high school. Like one of those things, like my youth pastor paid the dumb tax, so I wouldn't have to, right? So like at 17 years old, he put me over middle school ministry. And Phil, if you're listening to this, I love you. Thank you for the opportunity. That was dumb. I hope you never do that again. But at 17, I was running a middle school ministry. So I'm 39 now. So I've been doing this for a while. Yeah.
And completely side note, like, isn't that amazing? The leaders that gave us a chance.
Yes, absolutely. Poured into us. I was saying, like, thank you to my youth pastor for that, but minors over minors never goes well.
All right. So with all that experience, I think one of the things that I find, especially in youth ministry, I think it can be across the board, church wise, but especially in youth ministry, even in the days of, you know, now with social media, where we're constantly bombarded with what these youth ministries are doing and what this pastor's doing. Did you ever find yourself dealing with a level of comparison, whether it was you're on the losing end or you're seeing yourself as better? Did you ever find yourself in that kind of zone, and how did God help you through it?
Yeah, dude, let me just say, like, my ambition has constantly got me looking forward. So like, I'm always like, I don't think I'm, this is going to sound super arrogant and like self-defeating, but like, I don't think I struggled as much with the arrogance of like looking at other people behind me as much as it is that I struggle with looking at everybody who is ahead of me or doing something bigger, better, whatever. And so like, then we see it all the time though. Let's talk about it for real. Like you get invited to a church and the first thing that we do, we go to a conference or whatever at somebody's church. We're like, I want to go see your youth room. Like, I want to go see what you got. Like, oh, you have a slide. That's like, what I mean, like, cool. Right. But I'll tell you, I mean, like, even those things are wild. Like, we don't even, I'm at a really big church. We have a ministry of hundreds of students, so we don't have a building. Like, we don't have a space. Like, we flip it, right? So, like, I get it. So there, even now, I'll look at other people and be like, man, I'm so jealous of your youth building. Oh, and you're, like, melting off the side. But I'll tell you, man, for me, I think, truthfully, where comparison, I think, has hit me the hardest is in two places. I would look at... when I was younger, all that ambition, all that hunger to grow and stuff and to do something really cool and impactful. And my first student ministry after college, we had 3 kids. And it's like in a semester, we'd have 5 first-time guests. And we're like, dude, that's crazy. That's exciting. Like, that's a big deal. You had more first-time guests and you had people come to your ministry. We jumped from 3 students to 6. like on a metric scorecard, that's 100% growth in a semester. Like that is wild. But I would look at my friend who's the same age as me, and he'd been in ministry for like a year. He just kind of happened to land in this really cool young church, and they were explosive. And you're looking at that and you're going like, well, God, I'm like, why don't I get to experience that? Why does he get to experience that? I don't get to experience that. That was a hard thing to become content with, like being like, you embrace the call in your life. To have all of these things kind of stirring inside. It's one thing to embrace the call. It's another thing to embrace the assignment and be content in the assignment.
Yeah.
So, and then to love people and shepherd people and build something really well there. So that was a hard thing for me when I was younger, but I'll tell you, I think the biggest comparison thing that really hurt me, I mean, I talked about self-awareness. When you take all of the like StrengthsFinder profiles, when you take the Six Working Genius, when you take, man, Myers-Briggs, all of those things, I'm the commander, I'm the like strategist, I'm that guy. I am not the dynamic person who has the capacity to shepherd and care for 100 students really, really well, which sounds like counterintuitive. I know a lot of youth pastors are probably listening, gasping in their pilot seats in their car going like, how can you pastor without loving people? I'm like, no, I do. I love people well, but like I do it through building really great things. Mm-hmm. And so I had a pastor who was legitimately the best shepherding pastor I've ever met in my life. Like incredible guy. Just, he told me once, he's like, I don't know how to stand in the pulpit without looking at the congregation and saying, I've sat in everyone's homes. I've sat in everyone's kitchen. I've cared for them well. And I'm like, dude, that's wild. That sounds awful to me. And so for a long time, the comparison thing, I was looking at those guys thinking, that's what I should be. Like, I should be that kind of guy, that kind of pastor, that kind of leader. And it was really hard for me to embrace the strategist, embrace the visionary, embrace kind of that kind of role. And that kind of mentality and say, yes, that's right. Like you read the psalm where it says, I praise you, Lord, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I would be like, I can praise you because I'm made. And I struggle to believe I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes. The thing is, like, it took me so long where the comparison thing was killing me, robbing me of joy and even impact, was trying to force myself to be and operate in a way God did not wire me to.
Yeah.
So like the day that I poured into the self-awareness, the day that I like began to embrace like, God, you wired me as the strategist, you wired me as the thinker and the builder. And if you can put me in a situation where that's what I get to do, you know, we'll do something really cool here. And the moment I stepped into that and embraced that and then developed those things inside of me, man, that impact and all of that ambition, that drive, it just kind of took off. Because I was doing it in a healthy way, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't about doing it the way everybody told me I had to. It was about doing it in the way that God wired me to do it.
Yeah. And I think there's a level of, like we said at the beginning, you know, always growing and always learning.
Yes.
But we can't kind of, you know, mix that between trying to replicate someone else. Like God called you into the ministry. He called me into the ministry, knowing exactly our gifts and our skills. And he has a plan to use that. But if we try to just replicate everyone else and copy everyone else, you know, that's not who God called for that specific ministry. He's called you to be where you are. And and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate that.
Hopefully it helps somebody. Again, I like to say I pay the dumb tax, right? Like I lived that life for 10, 12 years before I figured it out, man.
Yeah. All right. So with that, have you ever had a moment, and you've already kind of shared a bit of these, but have you ever had a moment where you just fully realize, God, I can't carry this on my own?
Oh my gosh.
And dude. Like you realize that it's more of God's work than your work. Can you elaborate on that?
Can I pause for a minute and tell you, like in high school, American Idol had just come out and I thought I was going to marry Carrie Underwood. So like when you say like, I can't do this on my own, I just hear Jesus take the wheel playing in the back of my mind. Thankfully, praise God, I married my incredible wife, not Carrie Underwood. So, but man, I'll tell you, I got two very specific things I think that come to mind. One of them is in that relational ministry category. I got a phone call. Man, I was sitting in my office and I got a phone call. There was a trailer park down the road that we were getting a lot of students coming from. And I got a call that said, hey, there's a young man living in that neighborhood. And I don't think he's ever been to church before. I don't think their family's churchgoers. But I just got word that his dad is dying in the hospital. And his mom is a wreck. And he's an only child. And, like, I don't think he's doing okay. Like, you know, I just wanted to let you know. And, like, mind you, like, I'm being told, like, you have to be that hospital visit, sit in everybody's front yard, the living room shepherd. And I'm like, that's not, those things are not what come natural to me. And so but these things are important, right? Mm-hmm. These are the doors God opens and is like, hey, if you just trust me and step through this, like, I'll give you what you need. Sort of like when he promises Peter and the disciples that the Holy Spirit would speak for them in moments. And so I'm going, okay, God, like, this is so far out of my comfort zone. Like, I'm really comfortable with a whiteboard, like, and like, how are we going to get to where we're going in 10 years? Like, but this moment, God, I need you. And I remember I walked into that hospital and, I was like, hey, I'm looking for, then I told them their name and like, and they kind of like awkwardly walked me back there. And, there his dad was sitting or laying on a bed, you know, tons of like tubes and stuff running in and out of his body. And he's dying on the table. And there's this young man just sitting there in the corner. And I said, hey, bud, you don't know me. And that's okay. But I want you to know that I love you. And the kid, like, just broke, like, melted in my arms. And, like, that was a moment, like, where God just kind of stepped in. He's like, hey, you're not the highly relational, you know, super shepherd guy. But, like, I can use you if you just trust me. It's that where the psalm says, commit your way to the Lord and he will act. It's that, like, if you'll just commit to follow me when I call you into those moments, I'll do the work. I'll do those hard things. And man, that has carried me time after time because this young man ended up coming to church, like week over week, building great relationships, getting saved. And now he is an adult youth leader at that same church, leading other kids to Christ. So, like, man, God will do some crazy things if we'll just say yes. The other thing, man, was like, I grew up in a home, military dad, you know, 9/11 happened when I was a sophomore in high school. And I remember going, my dad's going to war and how am I going to get through this? You know, I'm a baseball player, football player, I'm a Boy Scout, basketball. You just put your nose to the ground and you just push forward. That's the way, that's the culture my dad had built in our home. It was like, man, when things are tough, you just push through, like, you just go. And so, like, I had about 12, 15 years of really toxic, unhealthy church situations where I was collecting wounds. I was been hurt. I was ready to just give up on ministry altogether. And then God brought me here to the church I'm at. And like, so like when I was really young, the hospital situation happened. Now that I'm in my late 30s, I'm in this situation where I've been pushing through on my own, through all the hard things on my own.
Yeah.
And my boss was like, dude, you're not okay. Like, you're not. He's like, he knows me well enough to be like, dude, like, let's pull the mask off for a second here. Like, you've just been grinding through like really hard things for a long time. Like, and I had a loving conversation where it ended up with him saying, I'm paying for 6 counseling sessions and you're going, period. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm tough. I'm resilient. I'm like, I'm a, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like, and so, man, but I showed up in there and we started talking and I began to realize, man, like, I have been carrying the weight of ministry by myself for a long, long time. And so, and man, in those moments, it was God's like, hey, like, you weren't meant to carry it alone. I've got you, but I want to put people around you. And so, yeah. The two big things are like, man, God will use you beyond what you think you can do. And then God doesn't mean for us to do ministry and carry the weight of ministry on our own. Like, he wants us to be in community and talk about those things with people who can actually help us process the hurt. Because it's not just like, man, because you got guys who've never been in a toxic situation, but they've got hurts and wounds just because they've been doing ministry. Yeah. It's like, man, we have got to get those things out. We've got to talk about them. be healthy ourselves.
Good. Yeah. So important. So like what are some, through those lessons, what are some boundaries that you've set now for maybe yourself, your family, your ministry?
So I've got this tattoo on my forearm that is, sorry if you don't like tattoos, guys, sorry. But I've got this tattoo on my forearm that is...
Can you show it?
Yeah, sure, why not? Let's see. I don't know if you have to flip it upside down, but like...
Oh, that's awesome.
So like there's a campfire here, and there's the mountaintop here. But it was this time, man, I was spending time with the Lord through Deuteronomy and Exodus, and like he's like, hey, like take note of this. Like, man, when Moses would lead the people, he would leave the people, go spend time with me on the mountain, and then go back and lead the people. And so one of the biggest boundaries I think that I've set is like, I refuse to lead anyone, whether it be my staff team, my volunteers, student leaders, anyone, unless I've gone to be with the Lord first. Like, mm-hmm. I can't lead unless I have first been led. And so when it comes to ministry, the biggest boundary that we have is my relationship with the Lord absolutely must be first and foremost above my relationship with anybody else on my team. Beyond that, dude, man, there, I just kind of say like, hey, very, very pragmatic, very, very practical. The things that everybody has heard, your boundaries are things like you watch your time, man, to the best of your ability. Don't crush 80 hours a week. If you're doing that, you need to find time in the next week to like take time off. Like, you know, watch the check engine light. You know, so, you know, like if you're exhausted all the time, man, you probably have some things you need to fix. So I hate to be like crazy pragmatic here, but the best boundaries are very much in the physical world. Good diet, good exercise, take your Sabbath, spend time with your kids, spend time with your wife, spend time, you know, with people who care about you, not your ministry. Like,
yeah.
Like you, we have to have friends. Like we have to have people that we're doing life with that actually like want you to shut up. They don't want you to talk about ministry. They just want to hear about like how your weekend went. Like,
yeah.
And so when it comes to all this too, man, I think a huge, huge boundary I think a lot of youth pastors need to hear is that your loyalty lies to Christ and your family, then your church. But the thing is like, your loyalty to Christ includes your loyalty to the calling he's placed on your life. Mm-hmm. And so you are loyal to the call more than you're loyal to the church. So if you find yourself in this crazy toxic situation and you're like, but I love my students and it's hard for me to leave. And it's like, well, don't sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry. Like, man, put that boundary up that says like, if working here is really negatively affecting my church life or my work life, my family life, sorry, that's what I'm getting at, then I don't need to be working here. Like, I don't know any other way to say it. We don't need to over-spiritualize it and say, oh, the Holy Spirit hasn't told me yet. And it's like, well, unless he's come down and said very plainly, you're not leaving, then you should take care of your family. And like, I'm going to say something. I know in ministry, we don't get paid a lot, but like, if you're in a place that will not take care of you financially either, go somewhere else, because you have to be able to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah. I don't know if that helps anybody at all. I'm just going to harp the pragmatic things, the things that you've been told since like you first stepped in, because they're true. We just love to neglect them in our youth.
Yeah. Well, no, I had that same mindset when I first started off ministry wise, you know, single and all that kind of stuff. And yeah. I was like, oh yeah. Man, you know, I could live on the side of the street doing ministry and all that kind of, but it's a whole different ballgame when you're married, you got kids, you got to provide food. Mm-hmm. You can't live on ramen noodles. And so it's that's so important. And I love what you're saying, because a lot of it is, as you said, it's very pragmatic. It's very simple. And yet sometimes it's the simple things we miss looking for the complicated.
Yeah, no, 100%, dude. Absolutely.
Awesome. I appreciate that. All right. So kind of wrapping everything up here, maybe we got a mm-hmm. tired leader, a burnt out leader, a mm-hmm. stressed out one. Maybe like you shared and like I've been to where, you know, you're at the end of the ropes and you're like, am I just done ministry wise? I've been hurt. I've been burnt. I've been wounded.
Yeah.
what is one piece of advice you would give to someone that's listening and they're at that end of the ropes ministry wise?
Oh, dude. I'll say probably the hard thing that a lot of people I think are going to shy away from. You can do more than you think you can. I think we have a generation of people in general. I don't want to be like the old guy saying people are soft. Like, but ministry takes a lot of grit. But the reality is that when you are healthy, like when us as individuals are healthy, and I'm talking like whole person health,
yeah,
body, soul, mind, like all of it, like we have to be healthy. When you are healthy, you can do way, way more than you think that you can. But if you're healthy and you're still feeling these things, then there's some kind of check engine light in your life that you need to sit down and talk this through with someone else that, to be very honest, isn't your spouse. Now, some people may like balk at that, and that's okay, but my wife is my biggest sounding board, but she's also my biggest advocate. So she'll go to war for me. Like, so I need somebody who, again, doesn't care about the ministry. They just care about like talking to me. So if you don't have a mentor, find a mentor. If you don't have a coach, find a coach. If you don't have a counselor, find a counselor. But you need somebody that can sit down and just say, hey, like, I understand what you're going through. Because sometimes us feeling exhausted is our lack of self-awareness, and we've created a really bad situation. Yeah. Sometimes our feeling exhausted is that we're working in an environment that isn't conducive to how God has wired us. Sometimes feeling exhausted is because we do not know how to put the brakes on our own ambition or life. And sometimes we're exhausted because, man, we just need a break. I have to look at my staff all the time, and sometimes I have to force them to take vacation time because they love ministry so much they don't stop. And it's like, man, we've got to take care of ourselves. Pay attention to the check engine lights.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I love how you broke down exhaustion into all those different things. Because as you keep on saying with the check engine light, when the check engine light comes on, it doesn't mean that it's an oil problem all the time. Heck, it doesn't mean that it's you got to figure out what the issue is that's setting that thing off. And so if you're a leader that's listening to this and you're drained, you're tired, sometimes those emotions get us to feel like, well, this person wronged us, or I'm just tired because of this. But it's important, as you were saying, to really start, self-care and check yourself out, find the right people to go to with it. Because sometimes the emotion that we're feeling is based on a deeper wound or a deeper hurt or a deeper thing that we're going through.
Yeah, dude. 100%, man.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate this. I mean, you have such great insight, and I appreciate just the years of ministry that you've been through, and the lives that you're affecting and touching, and the students that you poured into, and also just being vulnerable here. I mean, all these people are going to listen, and you're pouring out your heart, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Kind of in closing here, is there any event, any ministry, any podcast or whatever that you want to, just share with those that are listening?
Man, no. Check out Beyond the Numbers. It's a great podcast. I really don't have anything that I'm into. But I will tell you, like, if you guys are in need of a coach, you need somebody to just kind of like soundboard off of, that is something I do all the time. And so, if you need somebody to just kind of like talk strategy, talk shop with, and maybe help navigate those things, that's a big part of what I do. And I have the freedom to kind of help a lot of people out with things like that. So if you need anything, guys, feel free, hit me up. Love to talk.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Justin, for just sharing with us and pouring out your heart. It's been a great conversation, and thank you for joining. All right, folks, that is it for today. Let's continue to just pursue health, not only for our ministry, but also for ourselves as we look to go beyond the numbers.